Welcome to the For the Church podcast, another great gospel-centered resource from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Jared Wilson. I'm an assistant professor of pastoral ministry and author in residence at Midwestern Seminary. And what do you know? The once and future king is back. We are here with Dr. Ronnie Kurtz, assistant professor of systematic theology at Midwestern Seminary, and former and now present co-host.
That's right.
Of the For the Church podcast. How are you, brother?
Man, it is good to hear you do that intro. It's good to see your face.
Yeah.
It feels like we never left.
Yeah. You know? Well, yeah, it does kind of feel like that sometimes. There was a lot of questions. People were always wondering, you know, like what's going to happen when Ross leaves? Who's going to be the co-host? I think there was this fear, this gnawing fear that I would be doing solo episodes like in the early days of the
that's
podcast.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody wants that. I don't want that.
Yeah.
And it just was like a natural, right? Like you were already coming to serve here even before we knew that Ross was leaving.
Yeah.
So when he announced that, I just thought, oh, I wonder if Ronnie would be willing to do it again. So,
of course. Yeah. If you're here, I'm here.
Okay. I think a lot of our listeners probably don't know because we've gotten a lot of listeners just in the last 4 years or so.
Yeah.
So if you're not aware, Ronnie was co-host of this podcast from 2019 to 2021. So not a short stint. Two years.
Like we did 50-something episodes together.
Yeah, something like that. We even did some anniversary episodes.
And, yes, you're right.
Yeah, things like that.
Yeah.
And you've been on the podcast as a guest since then, but now you're back. And
yes.
I'm glad, man. We got the band back together.
That's right. The band is back together.
And so what I thought we would do in this episode, which is not just a first in terms of you know, you as the new co-host, but it's also the first on video.
Yes. Yeah.
For some reason, they decided that our faces should be seen.
That is a mistake.
That is a big mistake. They've mentioned it's in 6K. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I was looking at 4K Blu-ray players yesterday.
Like, this is high-tech stuff.
I was wanting to upgrade, and I was like, man, 4K, that's like the highest K that they've got, right? Because that's all I hear about.
It just stopped at 4.
And we come in here, and they're like, hey, we got it on 6K, guys.
That's
so
right.
You're going to be seeing nostril hairs. You're going to be seeing... we can't roll up, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Previously, when it was just audio version, we could roll up at like 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, Bill Belichick hoodies.
Barely awake, wiping the eye boogers out of our face. We can't do that now.
Yeah.
They told us to bring wardrobe.
Just as long as we don't do makeup between sets.
Yeah, exactly. We're in what feels like 94-degree hot box studio. Which we were able to decorate ourselves. But if you're listening on audio, you're a dedicated audio listener. I'm an audio podcast listener. I don't know about you. I don't watch a lot of video.
Yeah, same.
You can continue, of course. We're still going to be on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Look at you.
We'll be on there. Actually, just those two places. So if you have a,
so if you have a different favorite,
if you have
change
a favorite that's different, you need to make one of those two your favorites. But we'll also be on YouTube, I guess. And
somebody get YouTube down here for
we'll
this.
We'll have a video. That's right. And so YouTube catches wind of what we're doing.
That's right. Yeah.
Down here in the hot box. Well, we want to welcome you back. I want to spend some time in this episode just reintroducing you,
man,
if we can.
What an episode to skip.
Our audience. do you remember once you came back? I feel like it was a guest episode, maybe. And I sang the Welcome Back Cotter theme song?
No, you should maybe do it again because I don't remember.
Well, there may be rights issues on YouTube. I don't know. But maybe I'll just sing it so badly, you know, the algorithm won't catch. The
sure,
AI
that's
won't
not
catch
this.
I'm not going to sing it. But it was an old TV show, and I sang it, and you said, I don't know what that is.
That
and
sounds
it,
right.
It made me feel old. A few weeks ago, Dr. Allen, the president of our seminary, made a joke in chapel about Doogie Howser.
That's right.
And it went over like a lead balloon. Like, no, it was crickets in the place. And it's
except
because
for you.
85% of the people in the room are under the age of 30, right? And probably even under the age of 25. And then you asked, I remember, you said, do you know who Doogie Howser is? And I said, man, I'm 50 years old. Of course I know who Doogie Howser is. So I won't sing the Welcome Back Cotter theme song, and we'll get to know our theological wunderkind, Ronnie
Just
Kurtz.
Like that.
Yeah. Why don't you start out by sharing a little bit of your testimony, maybe,
like
how you came to Jesus?
Yeah, I'd love to do that. Yeah, so I did not grow up in a Christian home. The gospel was not a regular rhythm of our life. There was probably some like residue of vague belief in some of our family. I think if you asked some members of our family, like, do you believe in God? They would have said yes. But if you would have asked them something like, what does the death of Jesus have to do with you? There would have been crickets. So through some odd circumstances, namely skateboarding and pop punk hardcore music scene. Yeah, the Lord drew me to himself.
From pop punk to cardigan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the that'll be the title of my memoir.
Awesome.
That's right. So my parents were divorced when I was one. I moved to a small. I was born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri. Moved to a small town. Rural Missouri town because my mother got sick and wanted to be with her. Didn't know how long she had left. She ended up making it quite a bit longer than we anticipated. She passed away in 2018. But during my high school years, I wasn't a Christian yet and was kind of a city boy in a country town and stuck out.
Just a city boy.
There we go. It only took 10 minutes for a song.
In a country town. All right, I love it.
And there was another student who moved from a city to a small town and was wearing a shirt of a band that I liked.
Okay. And what was the band?
It is not important. No one would know them. It's like a really niche hardcore band.
Okay.
So,
does it have a profane name? Is that what?
No, it doesn't actually.
Okay,
no.
All right,
no.
Okay.
And anyways, for those who might know, the band was Minor Threat. So
I've heard of them.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Come
well, there
man.
You go. Minor Threat.
I couldn't name a song, but I've heard of them. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyways, he was wearing a shirt and we hit it off. And little did I know, he was a Christian. And one day I was at his house and trying to impress him. He was a few years older than me. I was like, I need a friend. I don't have any friends, you know. And he's like, hey, by the way, on these nights I go to church. And I was like, oh, the only time I had ever been in church before then was me and one of my cousins in St. Louis broke into a church close to his house so they could film me doing like skate tricks down a ramp. Or down some stairs.
Wow.
Yeah. So this was my second time in church. And at this point, I didn't really have like many thoughts about Christians other than that they were weird. And the pastor opens the Bible to the story where God asks Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And all of my superstitions about Christians were confirmed. Like he reads the passage. He reads the passage and I look around and I'm like, this is actually child sacrifice. What are we doing here? Like, are you guys okay with this story?
Are y'all hearing this?
Like I'm worried you're not listening. So anyways, the pastor, he preaches the story. As you know, the ram comes out and Abraham sacifices.
Wait, what happens?
Yeah, I know. I don't want to spoil anything,
okay, right.
But yeah,
out.
He doesn't sacrifice his son, but there is one who will.
Whoa.
That's right. Another son will carry some wood up a hill. But I
just blew my mind.
I know. Yeah. Gospel already, you know. I went up to the pastor after the sermon and was like, hey, my name is Ronnie. I don't think I believe any of that, but I'm interested. And I was like, is there any way we could get together and talk? And he was like, what are you doing right now? And I was like, well, I'm a high schooler, so nothing. And so we
Taco Bell.
That's right. Actually, we walked to a Dairy Queen just down the street, and he shared the gospel really clearly. And I don't know exactly when it happened, but I'm confident I left that Dairy Queen a Christian.
Amazing.
So, yeah, so that's kind of he became a mentor and walked with me throughout a lot of my life, yeah.
And that would have been, like, what around what year?
That would have been, like, 2007.
Okay, so about 18 years ago, 19 years ago, and then you believe the Lord was calling you into ministry, or you were...
So through through that man's name was Mark, and through Mark's kind of discipleship, he was just so kind to me, and he was a place where it was okay for me to ask really dumb questions, which just has, in me, developed a soft spot for people who are like, I'm worried to ask this question. And I just want to be a place where that's okay. It's like, it's okay to ask questions. And so he made that space for me and helped me read through the Bible for the first time. And I would write down, as I was reading, I would just write down questions. And he would kindly give space to answer them in a way that was biblical and faithful and just caring for me as a person. And I really fell in love. I realized the more he taught me about the Bible, the more my love for Jesus was just set on fire.
Uh-huh.
And so there was never, and I've always been told, like, hey, be careful with theology because it could make you become cold. And I've just never, that's never been my experience. I intellectually understand that that could be a problem, but it's just not my story. My affection and my intellect have been tied together since day one. And the more I learned about Jesus, the more I just absolutely loved him. And so through that discipleship, I realized I really love studying the Bible, probably in a way that's maybe a little unique. And he helped me write a few sermons, helped me preach my first sermon, which was like a miserable, like 15-minute sermon. Thought I had so much. And then like 15 minutes later, I'm like, oh, I'm out of material. Should I just start over? You know? So that's kind of the foray into ministry for the first time.
Gotcha. Okay. So talk about coming to Midwestern the first time.
Yeah.
Which was around what year? 2014.
14?
Yeah. Okay. And what did that look like? You came and help plant a church.
That's right.
Right? Okay, so talk to us.
Yeah, so through that discipleship, actually, I kind of realized I loved the Bible and went to college, went to my undergraduate to do biblical studies, and realized probably my sophomore year in college, I may actually have a little bit more of a love for the intellectual life than I thought I did. And really didn't even have a category for the intellectual life. My family is not intellectual. That's just not, neither of my parents finished high school. And so it's just not, that's not really a part of my family's heritage. But I realized in my undergrad, I have a proclivity for this and have a desire for this. And so by the end of my undergrad, I was already feeling, I live a dual life. I have a deep love for the local church. I love pastoring, or the idea of pastoring at that point. I love God's people. I love taking care of people. But I also love nerdy stuff. I love books and writing and all of that. And so I just kind of resolved pretty early I would keep them together as long as the Lord would let me. And so step one of that was pursuing an MDiv. So I wasn't originally planning to go to Midwestern. And then through a few circumstances, primarily a friend of mine and the North American Mission Board asking if I would help serve a church plant, which ended up becoming Emmaus Church, where I pastored for about 7.5 years. I came to Kansas City and was, because of that, kind of early in the process of Dr. Allen's tenure. He was here a bit before me, but I got to be on the early stages. And so all of the excitement and revitalization of Midwestern Seminary over the last 10 years, you know, 12 years now, I got to see pretty early and on the ground, which has been remarkable.
Yeah, you were one of the guys when, you know, I moved in 2015, March 2015, I think was when I started full-time. And you were part of that sort of cohort on the ground level student, you know, at that time, and to be able to see you, you know, progress and become part of really the culture and really even setting culture here, even in the, you know, last few years with you, you know, not serving here, the cultural impact of, I think, what you and another kind of group of guys did, even whether connected to Emmaus or just theologically minded, but devoted to the church.
Yes.
It's really shaped the identity of the seminary. And so when we learned that you were coming back, I was just stoked. I mean, I was sad to see you go, stoked to hear that you were coming back, and stoked to think, yeah, this is, I mean, you have such a hand in shaping this place into what it is that it makes sense that you would kind of. So what does it feel like to, maybe you don't think of yourself this way, but to begin with, like, I think I want to pursue these things. I've got a passion. I got a heart for these things. You're helping plant a church. You're beginning your, you know, pastoral, you know, experience at that time. You're beginning your, you know, theological journey at that time, or beginning, you know, to get your degrees, I guess, at that time. Now to be, you're not an old man, Ronnie, but you're an OG.
Yeah, they're gray hairs here.
You're a Midwestern OG. What is that like? To be like the kid from the Minor Threat shirt to now the turtle shell, you know, tortoiseshell glasses and the theologian with a PhD.
You know, I don't really think about it like that really at all. Okay. It just feels, you know, and this is really
true. I retract the question.
This is, what a silly question. No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is, for most people, I mean, you can, it's hard to guess the next steps, but once you're, you know, 10, 15, 20 years on the road, it's pretty easy to look back hindsight and be like, oh, that was a providential point. And that's, I wouldn't have guessed that person was going to be a major turning point in my life or that event.
Yeah.
But now on this side, it's like, oh, that dot led to this one and that led to this one. And here we are. I had, you know, this school and my story are intertwined in major ways. I'm a three-time graduate at this point. You know, I have two master's degrees and a PhD from here. I would point to some faculty who I currently serve with, like Jason Dusing, for example, as some of the most influential people in my life in terms of like what it looks like to pursue the Lord in an academic setting and still remain Ronnie Kurtz, for whatever that is. I've always been, even with like that those minor threat skateboarding days, I've always been bent towards creativity and art. And so finding beauty in theology was a really important part of my story. Mm-hmm. And the more I saw the Lord clearly, the more I saw him as beautiful. And the more I saw him as beautiful, the more I just wanted more of him, you know. And then, you know, when the gospel starts clicking in your head, it's just like, all right, this is what I'm doing, you know.
Yeah.
So
when did writing come about as, I mean, when you're starting out in kind of intellectual pursuits, obviously you're researching, maybe writing for classes, things like that. But in terms of like publishing, writing books, when did that sort of bug kind of kick in?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and honestly kind of hard to pinpoint. I often tell PhD students I'm probably not the best person to ask about what the dissertation process was like because I loved it.
Okay.
And a lot of people, they talk about it as if it's like this massive
this
grind.
Gauntlet they're
and,
running through.
Yeah, it's like the worst few years of their life, and they're, you know, they're struggling, and they're not eating or sleeping.
That's
like,
right.
That's just not my experience, man. I just like, I really loved it. The topic that I was writing on, like, gave me joy. And I was seeing the Lord more clearly, which stoked my affection for him. And it was probably somewhere in there that I recognized I often write myself clear. And again, the clearer I see the Lord, the more I see him as beautiful. And so there became a correlation between writing and clarity that I found really appealing. And as you know, I have a deep love of literature and poetry. So when I'm not doing theology, I'm probably reading fiction or reading poetry of some sort. And so I've always been bent towards beauty. And there is an element of writing that's kind of become the art form that the Lord has given me in my life. I married an actual artist. My wife, Kristen, can like, she can draw, she can paint, she can sing, she can like do everything. And I'm like, God made me love creativity and gave me no creative talent. Like, what is happening? I can't draw. I can't. So it ended up becoming writing.
Writing, yeah.
So whether that's, you know, writing theological stuff or poetry, that's kind of what I love to do.
Yeah. Excellent. So tell us about your family a little bit.
Yes, I'd love to. My favorite topic, one of my favorite topics here. I have a wife, Kristen Kurtz. She is incredible. I just mentioned her. So we've been married now 13 and a half years.
Excellent.
Have two kiddos. I have a five-year-old daughter, Finley Jane Kurtz, and a almost two-year-old son, Cohen Haddon Kurtz.
All right. And what do y'all love to do as a family?
Right now, we love to make sure things don't burn down.
Okay.
We love to...
You're in the keep the children alive.
That's
stage,
right. Yes. Okay. Yeah. My children love to swing between the delight of my life and active terrorism. Mm-hmm. And so I just got to make sure we survive those pendulum swings, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So no, my family, you know, oddly enough, are already showing creative interests. My daughter loves crafts. Both of my children seem to be uniquely bookish already. Neither of them can read yet, but both of them, if they're crying, you can hand them a book and they'll just kind of look at it, you know, and stop crying. And so my daughter Finley, I mean, she'll sit there for hours every day. She'll sit there for hours and just look through books. And my son is kind of doing the same thing already. So we're not a TV family, so there's like no TV in our living room or anything. Okay. There's just books everywhere.
Okay.
And so that's kind of what they have, you know, if they're bored or if they're, you know, a little anxious. They just have books. And so they seem to be bookish people. And my wife is bookish as well. So we're just that nerdy family.
Yeah. You just think you're better than everybody.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. We're also into pizza nights. So that's less nerdy. We're into that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like you eat pizza? Is that
what you mean? Friday nights. We do pizza as a family.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I mean, it's
something
pretty common.
Yeah.
People eat pizza.
Yeah, that's right. It's probably more
you
than
know what? We're eating dinner every night.
I was just trying to, you know, beyond the bookish statement, I had to show that we're actually normal.
So
you know.
Do you do like, you read a certain number of books, you get a personal pan pizza, like the old Pizza Hut reading
I should
club?
Do that.
You should do that.
I don't, but we could revive the 90s Pizza Hut incentives. Yes,
yeah,
that's
you
good.
So you could eat the pizza. You just prompted a memory in my mind of, in particular, our older daughter, Macy, when she was itty bitty, like I'm talking like three. And she was moved into the toddler bed, right, out of the crib into a toddler bed. And we would go in the morning to wake her up or go in to get her. And all around her bed were stacks of books that she all night had been looking through and
that's amazing.
And quote unquote reading.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Just towers of books around her. And it's heartwarming. And also, how late did you stay up? You know, she looked almost like drunk, passed out from reading, you know, like crashed out.
That's right.
You know, book on her face and
yes.
everything.
She turned out awesome. So that's good news
for
Finley.
She turned out awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
good. And a bookish person and creative
right.
person even today. Brother, I'm so glad you're back.
Thanks, man.
I'm excited to begin this new journey, this new season with you. For listeners who do not recall our previous episodes together, they may be wondering about the dynamic between us,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And so if I had to categorize, you know, Ross and I had a good kind of back and forth where, I don't know, I gave him a hard time, he gave me a hard time, but I like you. So one of the jokes I used to make about you is that
yes.
you're a member of the Get Along Gang.
Yeah, I've had so many people bring that joke up.
Really?
So many. It has stuck.
That's
yes.
a Gen X reference. So
yeah.
if you're a young person, you don't even know what the Get Along Gang is. But I'm a kid of the 80s. There was a cartoon and a comic book called the Get Along Gang. It was these different animals. And, you know, there's like Care Bears, kind of. They're just like, they're interested in kindness and gentleness.
Amen. My kind of people.
And so you never really want to do conflict. My favorite memory, absolute favorite memory of doing a podcast with you was the UFO podcast in which you literally just sat there. You said, I have nothing to contribute. You told me coming in, I have nothing to contribute. And I thought, he's going to say something. And you sat there like a bump
yeah.
on a log the whole time while I talked about UFO. It might as well have been a solo episode.
Honestly, of the 50 plus 60 episodes we shot, that's the one I get asked about the most.
Really?
Which I'm like, come
the one you didn't
on.
Talk on.
Yes. That one. Yeah, and yeah. I've had some people ask me, like my dad has asked me, hey, you need to give me an update on Zeus. Which I totally forgot about that
saga.
Zeus
is no longer with us.
Okay, there you go, Dad. We got the update.
I don't mean he ran away. He is departed.
Yeah.
He didn't run away at that time. Yeah, that was a nice ongoing saga.
I remember that because I was like, wait, you haven't found him yet?
Every episode you're like, how's Zeus? I don't know. He's stolen the lamb. Well, now he's on the great lamb of the hereafter, wherever
yes.
lizards go.
Yeah, the Get Along Gang has stuck around. And look,
okay.
I'm just... I like getting along with people.
Okay.
I wrote a book on the fruit of the spirit.
Mm.
Kindness is one of them.
Yeah.
You know, gentleness is one of them. So that's my MO. I just want to be the Mr. Rogers of theology. That's all, you know.
Okay.
Putting the nice back in Nicaea.
Okay. All right. Nicaea. Well, I love it. And if you weren't put off by all of that nerdy stuff.
That's right. Yeah.
You'll want to stay tuned. I'm glad you're back, brother.
Thanks, man.
I'm looking forward to the future episodes together. If you enjoy the podcast, dear listener, or viewer now,
hey,
please give us a good review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And now I suppose YouTube. I don't know if YouTube has reviews.
I have no clue.
Like,
actually.
Subscribe, I think.
We'll ask the marketing team.
As
They'll
the kids
us.
Say,
yeah.
right? Click that button or whatever it is. I don't know what you do. We're not going to do any dances on here, but you know, if you like what you
Just
see.
Just speak for yourself.
If you like what you see. You can click like or subscribe or give us a good review. And until next time, may Jesus be big in your church.
You've been listening to the For the Church podcast, hosted by Jared Wilson, managing editor of For the Church, found online at ftc.co. This resource is brought to you by Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri, where we train leaders for the church.